Welcome to the Moonbeaming Podcast. I'm Sarah Faith Gottesdiener, an artist, author, and intuitive. And together, we'll explore life through a creative and spiritual lens. You'll learn so much about mysticism, creativity, consciousness, depth psychology, business, and more. And you'll get to listen to conversations with luminaries that you won't hear anywhere else. With each episode, you'll receive insights, frameworks, inspiration, and tools to help you thrive and grow. Hello, and welcome back to the show. I'm so glad you're here with our back to school vibes. I'm trying to have a back to school series here. In case you're just tuning in, last week we had an episode about burnout. Today we're going to have a practical episode about managing your routines as someone with a different kind of brain, neurodivergence, autism, ADHD, a combination of that, and being blessed by an angel. Being an alien, angel-blessed, angel baby with a beautiful, magical brain that isn't supposed to function in all of the normal ways because it's just a galaxy. It's a galaxy inside of your skull. So that's today's episode. And then we're going to have a couple more. And all of these are meant to kind of get you to, the kids are calling it locking back in. I've heard it called 30 days of DeLulu or DeLulu for the rest of the year. Goddess frickin' knows we need all of it. We need all of the beautiful delusion and all of the locking in and all of the focus and all of the attention. You know, we need it all. It's time. My partner and I have a friend who I know does not listen to this podcast. We haven't seen our friend in so long, but we knew them a really long time ago. And their voice message, when you would call them, remember calling people and people would have to record messages? Their voicemail said at the end, very earnestly, make it a great day. And so my partner and I say this to each other. We sure do, because it's the reminder that we got to make things. That's what the Moon Studio is all about. That's what this podcast is all about. It's about creator consciousness. It's about choosing to take whatever comes your way and spin it into gold and alchemize it. Speaking of alchemy and magic and the like, nature's alchemy, it is almost the equinox. It is almost officially fall. Happy equinox. Happy fall, everyone. Folks said that they loved the readings I've been doing, the collective readings. And so guess what? I recorded a reading for all of the patrons over on the Patreon. I gave y'all a reading and it's up and it's live. And so that's what we'll be doing moving forward, or as long as I decide to keep the Patreon up. Quarterly collective readings to fit the season. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. So patrons, thank you so much for supporting this show. You're literally the only reason this show exists. So thank you. And as a big thank you, you're going to be getting collective readings along with your tarot scopes and your monthly tarot spreads. There is one last bit of housekeeping that I have been so excited to announce, and that is this. Many Moons 2026 is on pre-order, and pre-order ends in just a couple of days. We have already told our newsletter. I don't think we told social media. I've been on a no social media promotion, so I'm not doing it. I mean, I'll promote, I think, what's in there. I have to stay in business, but I think for now, I'm just sharing everything good, everything like you get a perk. I'm going to be sharing it on the newsletter. So I also want to let my beautiful podcast listeners know too, though. I don't want to not tell you about the deal. So this is the most inexpensive Many Moons will be. the most affordable Many Moons 2026 will be. So if you know it's for you, get it in the next 24 to 48 hours and hop on the newsletter so you can be the first to know. And we'll have a couple of flash sales. We always do. And for certain, those will be announced on the newsletter. And probably I won't announce it here because we usually like plan it a day or two ahead. Okay. It's time for today's show. We're going to be talking about a very Virgoan topic, which is routines and rituals, but we're going to be talking about it for the neurodivergent brain. If you've read Atomic Habits and you wanted James Clear to go fuck himself, if you cannot just do the thing, if your brain and office looks like a tornado hit it, but then you get really organized, but then it looks like a tornado hit it again. If you're constantly saying to yourself, just got to get through the next week or two, and then I can come up for air. Well, you might be a human living in 2025, and you might be neurodivergent. You might be super ambitious. You might have a combination of ADHD and autism. And I really think if this feels like you, I think you're really gonna like today's episode. So this episode is about routines and rituals for the neurocomplex, neurodivergent brain. Let's dive in. This topic is so near and dear to my heart. I did not know, like many of you, that I was ADHD until my late 20s. And probably like some of you, I always felt like something was different. I didn't understand why I couldn't just sit down and write the paper. I didn't know why I quit things all the time. I didn't know why it was challenging for me to control my emotions. I am an emotional person. I'm a dramatic person. I'm okay with that. I think artists are. I think creators are. I think people who care, if they can learn how to channel it effectively, it's fantastic. It's fantastic if you're a service provider, if you're an activist, if you're a business owner, again, if you're a creator, writer, artist, I mean, chef's kiss, you know? And I was kind of able to manage okay until I got long COVID. Y'all know, I've told the story a million times. And it really was long COVID attacking my brain and my nervous system that blew open my life. The systems I had carefully created, the routines that now I look back and I'm like, wow, I was having to create so much rigidity in order to function, which is a really big hallmark of ADHD. It's like, oh yeah, a lot of us don't think we have ADHD because we've created these like very intense systems, schedules, you know, this, that, and the other to keep things all together. And then if something goes, which in my case is when I got incredibly impacted brain-wise with TBI-like symptoms and dysautonomia, everything just exploded and I couldn't keep it together. And that was also when I started thinking that I might also be autistic. Now, I've never been tested for autism. I'm not sure. I've been diagnosed with ADHD. I haven't been diagnosed with autism. One of my good friends, Dev from Serpent Fire, does a lot of work around autism and autism education. And so she was always talking to me about autism. I wasn't sure if I had it or not. Partially because I didn't think you could have both. But you can. Isn't that fun? So folks who have, I think they're calling it ADHD, ADHD, like that, like lots of A's, can relate to this. This is what I'm going to say. Our brains crave wellness routines, but in a way that is unconventional. We need this mix of structure and excitement. And this is what's really hard for people who have brains like we do. Too much structure. I call it bore out, not burnout. I'm like, are you in burnout or are you in bore out? Like, have you just done the same thing over and over again for 3 years or longer and you're just like completely dead inside? That is a very ADHD issue. An ADHD issue is not having enough novelty, not feeling like you have freedom, not being engaged in things that bring you joy. Having to stick to someone else's schedule is really gonna turn into bore out. Anyway, today I want to talk about what makes these brains happiest or do well. We're going to talk about why we need both. We're going to move through ways we need to build routines that actually will work for us. I also wanted to share some warning signs that we might be out of alignment. And I wanted to bring in patience and self-compassion, which is something we're all learning. Every human is learning, but especially those of us who have these brains that are like full blast, full forward, and then will like crash, you know? I also think a lot about the moon and the lunar cycle as being sort of inherently neurodiverse because it's going around, like it's going around in the rhythm, but it's different every time. And if you get stuck on how to build routines that are going to work for you, I want you to come back to the moon and this idea of routines as being these touch points and these anchors, but they can change. But what they do for your mind, for your body, for your spirit is similar every time. And so we're going to get into some ideas around that later. We also inherently want to start with the fact that whenever we pathologize ourselves, whenever we overdiagnose ourselves, whenever the diagnosis or the label starts to supersede our spirit, who we are as a person, in my opinion, we are in the danger zone. We are in trouble. And we're in trouble because we start to then be controlled by the label. Labels and diagnoses, in my humble opinion, are meant to empower us and help us do what our spirit came here to do. So whenever you lose sight of who you are, what you want to be doing, what you want to be focusing on, like over, oh, I'm, you know, I can't do that because I have ADHD, or, well, I'm just this way. It's the way people sometimes use astrology that I really dislike, which is, oh, of course I'm stubborn. I'm an Aquarius. It's like, are you sure? Like, really? And you're just going to end it there? Like, that's it. You're not going to move forward. You're not going to see how maybe your stubbornness stops you or ruins certain relationships you have. I'm like, this is just not how I use divinatory methods. So to me, I see that the same way. Like, folks can get really down the rabbit hole. We tend to be rabbit holers. Those of us who have ADHD, we tend to love to research. For me, I don't want to make it my entire identity, but I want to learn about it enough to help me change things around so that I can live well and I can live in the way that my spirit wants to express itself and live, you know? And one thing I think is really important is this acceptance over things that just are, with the pairing of, I'm going to work on this because it drains me, or I want to shift this because it's not good for my relationships or whatever. So it's like, I'll give an example here. When you're neurodivergent, you tend to have nonlinear thoughts. Your awareness levels are multiple. They're holographic. I always use this term, like holographic consciousness. It's like we're taking in so much. We literally have more mirror neurons than neurotypical people, which means we can get really overloaded and overwhelmed sensory-wise, but it also means we can be psychic. It also means we see more. We can sense into more. It also means that poems are more enjoyable. It also means that biting into a plum might be like, my taste buds are tingling now just thinking of it. We're very imaginative, right? So we want to like really understand also that it's okay if our energy ebbs and flows, which of course it does. Anyone's energy ebbs and flows. This is like a teaching of the moon. It's okay if we have a crash for a couple of days, but, and also we want to look back and think, oh, was it because I didn't get enough sleep? Is it because I overloaded my week? Is it because at this time of the month, you know, I'm more drained? Is it because I went out to see live music 2 days in a row? Whatever it, like, we want to just create a system and an awareness that ultimately is just very supportive and accepting, right? We're like, also, it's like one thing I had shame about that I'm working around. I mean, let's be real. I have shame about a lot of things, but one thing I'm going to try on is working in sprints and working almost obsessively on like a project and then resting for longer, or like letting myself, once I catch the wave of inspiration, letting myself go, where essentially since 2020 and like being sick and things of that nature, I really work like a 10 to 6 schedule. And I think a couple nights a week when I start working on creative stuff and getting really into it, I think I just want to work until like 11, you know? And I know this sounds weird, but I was trying to pace because of my illness, and I was trying to fit my schedule to my partner because I love my partner and I want to like be able to see my partner. And I'm lucky right now we don't have kids. We might in the future. And so obviously things will be different, but I want to let go of the shame of like wanting to work and then wanting to like scale back. So this rhythm of like maybe pushing a couple nights a week late and then leaving, you know, when it's over after 7 hours of work. Or also I want to let go of the shame that I have around some days I can get everything I need to get done. I'm really sharp. I'm really fine-tuned. And other days I can really only get about 3 hours of like focused work or whatever out of me. And so this is what I mean when we want to design for our energy. We want to accept what we can. We want to let go of shame so that we can build this rhythm that lets us really connect to our natural rhythm. And it's like similar in that I'm thinking about the overall design of the studio, if I can swing it. And it's like, yeah, we should have like 3 or 4 weeks off a year. If I can afford to do it, I should have that off. My coworkers and teammates should have that off. I don't know if we'll be able to do it, but like, I'm just thinking about things like that, where it's like, oh yeah, every 3 or 4 months, I should just take a few days off and rest or go into the woods or have like a recharge or something. So I'm thinking about all of this now that I have more information, so much more, and I want to encourage you to as well, because we're not meant to be solar beings, just on or off, on or off. We're meant to like zigzag, flow, get really obsessed, rest. Like, we need this variety along with our structure. So if anything, hopefully this episode can give you some permission slips around that in your own life. I wanted to start with why our brains need both structure and novelty. We thrive on novelty and predictability, which sounds very strange, but it is how our nervous systems are wired. We often have lower levels of dopamine in our brains. And so the structure helps create these dopamine checkpoints. And novelty gives us those charges of like those boosts that we need to feel alive and to stay engaged. For autistic brains and ADHD brains, the default mode network, this is the part of our brain that's active during self-reflection, rest, calm. It can often be both overreactive and underregulated. And so that's why switching back and forth is really good for us, because structure can kind of bring us down when we're overreacting. And then when we're underregulated, this novelty can help us transition and flow and switch things up. Last but not least, our prefrontal cortex, which of course we know helps us with decision making, it helps us organize, it helps us plan. The prefrontal cortices, I don't know how we say this, of folks with these brains does not filter distractions as easily. That's a nice way of saying it's hard for us to focus. And so that's why we need this external scaffolding. We need reminders. We need post-it notes. We need Pomodoros. We need timers. We need accountability partners. We need to like see everything there. And it's also why we often need to gamify things. It's often why we need to like set up these weird obstacle courses for ourselves to get things done. So like an example would be like putting on the tea kettle and seeing if you can unload the entire dishwasher before the tea kettle goes off, or like putting on your three favorite songs in a row and seeing if you can do some chore or get through your emails. Like we often do really well with that. And this is actually a perfect example of this combination of structure and novelty. You're like, ooh, I love this song. I'm going to listen to it on repeat. It's your favorite. And it's this familiar thing that provides structure and support. So we want to think about things that give us these scaffolds to time to for our brain that is structure. But then we want to think of the gamification or the dopamine or the novelty, the excitement, is like this fuel that we need to keep going. And if we don't have that mix, things can kind of get a little bit off. And when things get off, it's not good. I think you probably know this, right? Mental health stuff. I mean, I was looking up data around this. There's so many connections between ADHD and depression. I read once, this could be wrong, but here, so allegedly, I read that before someone with neurodivergence hits 18, they have been given 20,000 shame-inducing messages about themselves. Either, you know, someone raising their eyebrows or someone making fun of them, or, you know, telling them that the way they're thinking or doing things are wrong, or all of that, right? So it's not uncommon for us to be out of alignment, but let's like, here are just some red flags, yellow flags. And I think that some of these you're going to be like, oh, okay, maybe I need to switch things up. Your days start to blur. They start to feel like Groundhog Day. And you begin to lose track of time. Maybe you don't have goals or dreams anymore. I think this is a big one. I think those of us with dopamine-fueled brains, we really need to be in control of what we do. At least some of the time, we need to have goals we're excited about. We need to have things that we are interested in with due dates. This is how like things can become exciting for us or where we can get a sense of meaning. Another is like you're avoiding really little things. Showering, responding to an email or a text. This is a clue that you're overwhelmed, that you're shut down, or that you're in bore out. And so this is the issue is like similar to the trauma brain, the ADHD brain or the ADHD brain can take something and like smear it around everywhere to everything. Like black and white thinking is usually a hallmark that we have to work really hard to open up and expand around. And so often if like things feel boring or things feel gray or not very vibrant, that will begin extending to everything. And then we will get into a vicious cycle where, again, there'll be like 3 weeks will go by and we didn't respond to the text or didn't finish the email. And then we never do it. And then we feel shame. And then we just spiral and we slide. Sometimes when we feel trapped by our routines, like they don't feel supportive or nurturing, that's a sign that you're out of whack and that you need to switch things up. And of course, this is just, these are the saddest ones, but like, I get it. We've all been there. You're noticing that there are these really large levels of overwhelm, shutdown, isolation, self-criticism, all of that. We have to remember that some of the signs in our brains that we are our great back to centered self, we're super vibrant. We're so excited. We have so many interests. We can lose ourselves in those interests. We're trying new things, like, and not in a way where we're trying to avoid life, but in a way that it enhances our life or it creates worlds and it creates a life. So if you just feel very blah, this is a sign that you probably want to get off the internet, get off screens, start picking some generative structures, get more rest. Maybe, you know, I'm not a doctor, but maybe look for some meds, make a doctor's appointment, you know, see if that's a whole thing. And then you're going to want to identify, do I want more structure or do I need more novelty? Do I need to go back to guitar lessons? That would be like novelty. Do I want to start a new memoir series or do I need structure? Do I need to get up at the same time every day and walk around my neighborhood? Do I need to have my magical routine in the morning and pull my tarot deck and write in my many moons? Can I let myself do that 5 days in a row? You know, that's the other thing with our brains. I always tell people in the Moon Studio, we're going for 70% consistency or better, but we never want to try to do 100%. That can end up ticking off our inner teen, that like rebellious side of us, and things don't go well. But if we can do 4 mornings a week of journaling or 4 mornings a week of meditation or 4 evenings, like whatever that is, if we can get there in terms of like just over half or better, maybe we take a couple days off, we will see over time how this helps our brain. If you're overwhelmed, this is this other thing to get out of overwhelm. Simplify all the way back to eating and sleeping. Try to get 3 meals a day, try to drink 8 glasses of water, and try to go to bed at the same time. Try to get into bed at the same time 7 nights in a row, even if you don't end up sleeping. Get your booty in bed at the same time at 10 o'clock, even if you're just laying in bed for a couple of hours. If you are feeling like you are in bore out, you're bored, you're like, God, I haven't changed anything in like 5 years. I'm so freaking bored. This, and you have the capacity, let me try that again, and you have the capacity, that's when you add novelty. Go do your morning pages at a coffee shop. Try a different kind of cuisine, like in your meal prep. Try working outside, right? Like introduce subtle shifts. This is why I love rituals. This is why I love lighting a candle. This is why I love some mood lighting. This is why I have singing bowls at the Moon Studio. This is why I'll like lay down for a while as a break. Like think about how you can add novelty. Maybe you want to invite a friend over and you can work side by side. Maybe you want to give yourself a little bit of a challenge and see, can I write an essay every 2 weeks for the next 4 weeks? Like think about what is in your capacity. What is your interest to do and go from there? We need to be so patient and kind to ourselves. So patient and kind to ourselves when this is happening. We often didn't get the kindness and the patience that we needed when we were young. And so we need to figure out energetically how to do this by checking in, by listening to our intuition, by understanding that even though we can be so impatient and we wanted things to change like yesterday, we need time, we need flexibility, right? So seeing yourself and your routines and your rituals as an experiment, both allowing yourself the flexibility and freedom to quit while not quitting until you've tried it consistently enough for long enough to see a change, which is normally between 1 and 3 months. So just letting yourself know that you're not gonna do your routine or your ritual every time. You may not be able to eat 3 meals a day. You might not be able to get to go to bed every single night the same time. That's where it hurts us. There can be like this level of like, I have to do this thing right at this time or right in this way. And if I miss it by like 5 minutes, I failed and I'm a loser and I didn't get it and I'm this and I'm that and I'm that. That's not true. We need to give ourselves these like windows and these pockets of flexibility within our process. There's a neuroscientific reason for this. So I just wanted to bring this in. Our amygdala is often bigger, like larger. The amygdala is the brain's alarm system. If you've seen that movie about emotions, Inside Out, then you know, you can imagine the amygdala as that little red guy. I think he's anger. Is that who he is? He has like a little tie. Think of the amygdala as a frying pan, like, you know, wanting to like whop something or someone, or a firefighter going to put out fires. When we don't meet our standards, meaning like we're trying to do this routine, we fall out of our routines, or we go to bed at 10:34 instead of 10:30, the amygdala can flare up and we can feel rejection, shame, like we're a failure, all of that. We often are so hard on ourselves also because we've been told that we're inconsistent. We've been told that we're lazy, and these inner voices live inside of us. And then our amygdala floods us with stress, which is what the amygdala is like, oh my God, a bear is coming, or oh my God, you have to kill the bear, or like it's danger, danger. It's like, ah-oo-ga, you know, it's like pulling the fire alarm in our brain. That's what I want you to think about. Anytime you start to feel stress, anytime you even feel shame, it's like you have pulled the fire alarm in your brain. And that makes it even harder for us to, of course, be patient and compassionate, but to like get into our routine or do what we want to do, because then we begin to couple what it is we want to do, right? Whether that's start a new business, apply to jobs, have a nighttime routine, with shame, with all these feelings. So, because what we have to remember is that when the amygdala turns on and the amygdala is driving the show, except it's not, it's like, again, it's like running around like crazy, has a million axes that it's like juggling. It's like screaming. It's freaking out. What is it? What's that meme? Laughing, crying, screaming, throwing up. Like, that's the amygdala. It reduces the prefrontal cortex activity, the part of the brain we need to be clear, that we need to focus, that we need to get back on task, that we need to be like, okay, let's try this again. It's just 10:34. We can lay down. We can get in our pajamas. Let's brush our teeth, right? So how can we do this? Well, you know what I'm going to say. We talk about it a lot at the Moon Studio, and that is we want to interrupt the pattern. And how we interrupt the pattern is we interrupt the pattern in these tiny little moments. And so you can pause and you can regulate, you can breathe, you can move your body, you can use anchors in your environment. Like, one thing I've really been into in my romancing, I'm in my romance my life era, is at night, instead of turning on the screen and turning on the TV, like after dinner or what have you, I light all these candles in my living room. I turn the lights down. I listen to music. I journal. I look at my tarot cards. I look through my art books. Sometimes I read. That's what I mean when I say sensory grounding. It's like, okay, am I going to have some water? Am I going to take a shower? Am I going to turn off the light? Right? I'm going to take some deep breaths. You know, just thinking about that. Affirmations work. I think affirmations only work if you believe them and if you say them out loud and you say them out loud and really listen to them. In my Substack, I talked about this pattern interrupt I do where when I start looping, I call it like flooding the brain with love and compassion. And I like put my hands over my ears and I like take a deep breath. And when I exhale, I imagine like my whole brain clearing out and I'm just saying like, I love myself. I love myself. You're amazing. You're amazing. And I do it for like at least 30 seconds, which is a long time. And I do that whenever I feel myself starting to get antsy or stressy or like down on myself. And I swear on my grandmother's grave, it totally works. Remember, again, you can pause. What do I need? Do I need more structure? Do I need more rest? Or do I need excitement because I'm not in burnout, but I'm in bore out? Here are some ideas straight from my life, that I use that you can now put into your routine in September moving forward that will help you. The first is meal prep and batching meals. I know you're like, yeah, well, I do that, or that's so basic, but hear me out. We want to do it in a way that works for us, and how that will work for us and make us be more successful and make us want to meal prep more is this mix of structure and excitement. So there's a couple of ways I do this. We don't want to get bored of eating the same thing like over and over again, unless you love eating the same thing over and over again. So what I will do and make and have are a blend. I will make like a batch of beans, either quinoa or rice. I won't make more than about 3 days, maybe four. Hear me out. I'll tell you my whole story. It's probably the most ADHD thing you've ever heard, but I know people like hearing about these things. They like ideas, so I want to do it. So there's that. So these staples and these basics. And then I will roast different kinds of veggies and make protein. We need to eat more protein, especially if we're older and especially if we do have ADHD. So I'll make sure that I have two different kinds of protein, and I will remix things and mix things up. I'll have a couple of different sauces, a couple of different like nuts and crunch factors and toppings to make things different. I'll do that also with my breakfasts. So like what I'll really get into is like a couple of days, about 2 or 3 days, I make this really delicious chickpea recipe that I shared on my Patreon with a poached egg and some broccoli sprouts. And that often gives me all the protein I need to start the day. But other days I have in Tupperware, I have Greek yogurt with some walnuts and some blueberries. And then other days, and this is like the easiest one, I might do a smoothie. So I mix it up so that if I'm like, this is the third day in a row, I don't want to have this, I can have something different, but it's easy to go. It's been pre-made for the most part. So it doesn't drain my energy, because we have to think of our energy really, really specifically when we have less energy. So that's one way I do that. And so often to bring in the novelty, I'll bring the same kinds of lunches and I might have the same dinner a couple of times. You will usually bring the same lunch like 3 or 4 times a week, and then I'll switch up the dinner. But then I always give myself the flexibility. If I'm like, I want to give myself a little treat and order pizza, or I'm going to give myself a little treat and I'm going to do takeout for lunch. Normally like Thursday or Fridays are my little treat day, you know, because I don't want to do any more dishes. I'm sick of the frickin' beans. I want some delicious noodles from Joy. If you're listening to this, owner of Joy, please sponsor me. I eat so many of your peanut noodles. So that's an example for food, and it's so helpful and it's so useful. And just letting yourself, if you want to go out to eat and you can afford it once a week, like let yourself do that. But you have this grounded structure. You know what you're eating. You know what's in it. You know you're getting your protein. You know you're getting your brain food. And there's novelty within that. Maybe there's two different kinds of vegetables. Or maybe you realize you really love bowls, you know, like with different chopped up things. You can mix and match throughout the week. This is what I'm talking about with this structure and this excitement. The same is with our movement and our morning routines. Maybe you don't listen to the same meditation every day and journal. Maybe you switch up what you journal about. For example, what I like to do is I like to lift weights a couple mornings a week, but I always like to mix it up midweek with a yoga class instead, or a walk around my neighborhood. If I can really get it together, going on like a 30-minute hike in the morning, these kinds of things that are like, I'm structured so I know that 5 days out of the week, I'm moving my body in the morning, and I know that I'm going to meditate and journal. I maybe change up the meditation. I maybe change up the journaling prompt, but I know that's what I'm doing, and it gives me that structure. Hopefully that makes sense. The last thing to think about are these environmental cues. So maybe you switch up and out your workspaces seasonally or per project. You know, maybe that's beginning to signal to your subconscious and your brain that you're ready for something different. Maybe you switch up your workflow, that you have these dopamine, like set a timer on the Pomodoro method, right? Or like you're like, okay, I'm going to give myself 2 walks a day halfway through the day, and then that will give me the juice or the burst that I need to keep going, or you have different playlists for different things. And we're giving ourselves that freedom, that flexibility within that structure. Sometime in the next 3 months, I'm going to update my creative guide accordingly and re-release it. So if this was interesting to you, please make sure you're on the newsletter list, because I'll probably be announcing it there. This is what I'll leave you with. Our routines are living systems. They don't have to always be the same. You were not meant to be the same. If today's episode resonated with you and you're excited, pick one of the things I suggested. Maybe meal prep with a little bit of a twist. Maybe get back into a morning routine and let yourself do that for 4 days in a row. And really remember that when shame comes up, you have some tools to flow out of it. You have to remember that you're brilliant and you're a genius. Trust your intuition. Create the kinds of rhythms that are going to serve you, and know that probably you need this balance, structure and excitement, routine and novelty, flow states, a little bit of challenge, things to look forward to. Once you can fine-tune your entire system and your brain around those things, you're going to be unstoppable, babe. I'm sending you so much love. Let me know how you like this episode. Have a beautiful equinox. Patrons, I can't wait for you to hear your collective reading. And take good care of yourself. Thanks for being here.
Moonbeaming is a Moon Studio production. It is edited by the wonderful Emilio Ruby at Softer Sounds, and theme music is by Melissa Caitlin Carter of Making Audio Magic. Hire them both for all your audio and podcast needs. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're always looking for aligned sponsors. So if you are a business or creative who'd like to sponsor an episode or two, reach out. If you love this podcast, please consider joining our membership to support it. Sharing on social media, passing it along to friends, or leaving us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate it so much, and we appreciate you. Thanks for being here.